Now I can start again. Creator God, you're calling me your friend. Sing praise my soul to the maker of the sky. A song will rise. I will sing a song of hope. Sing along. God of heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. I will sing a song of hope. Sing along. God of heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. Just to know you and be loved is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Hallelujah, sing. Oh, song of hope, sing along, God of heaven.
We'll never fail. Lift them up, praise his name, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus, he's Jesus. Oh, this is who we're singing to. He is our Lord, he's the King of Kings. Remember who it is you're singing to. You're not just singing to anybody, you're singing to God. You're singing to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of the highest praise. Give him all the praise you have today, because he's worthy. He's worthy.
You are the beginning and the end.
Do you believe it? He's Jesus. He is Lord. Oh.
A shout of praise in this place. Come on, let's put our hands together for the King. Come on, let's blow the roof off this building with praise and worship tonight. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, let's sing it again. Hallelujah.
Love you, Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. We say that you're worthy, Jesus. We say that you stand above all things, that you are high and lifted up, seated on the throne, that yours is the glory and the kingdom and the dominion and the power forever and ever and ever and ever. You alone, Jesus, deserve the glory. We give it all to you tonight. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in this place. We thank you for your presence among us right now, and we surrender to you again. We say, come, fill our hearts, move in our spirits, speak to our minds, move in our bodies tonight. We give it all to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. If you've been having a good time the past couple of nights, let me just hear it. Just give a hand. It's awesome what the Holy Spirit is doing among us. And we're glad to have yet another night with Doug Echols. Give him a hand as he comes to the stage.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, great to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here tonight, pull out your phone and share the live stream with somebody, because it'll help somebody. I think Pastor said we had almost 800 watch last night. So that's a good thing. Amen. And you know what? If you're watching live stream, tell us where you're watching and put it on there and share it yourself. And then also, if you have prayer requests, put them on there. We'll pray for you again at the close of the broadcast. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what a water well do for people. You know, we have water wells in Haiti that you might say, what really does it do? It changes a community. It changes their life. Instead of going to the river and getting their water to drink getting their water for bathing and their water for their food, they have fresh water, and that it's a blessing to them. Now, listen, you know, a lot of children, the majority of children that die under the age of five, they die because, in Haiti, because they do not have clean water. They die from dysentery. We might say diarrhea. We don't like to say that word in church. But the truth is, that's preventable. And then something will happen. I was out taking some pictures at some of the wells with my daughter one morning. We got up very early. And we were out taking pictures, and I thought we'd be there at the well, and nobody would be there. That's how early we got there. And we got there, and there's about 25 ladies sitting around with a pan and a washboard, and they're using that well as their local laundromat. And, you know, we get upset if our Whirlpool or a Maytag or Samsung is broke. You know, but here they were so blessed, and they found out we had put the well in. They lined up, and one after another, they hugged me. And some of the ladies got in line twice. I don't know what that meant, but we just pray they were wanting a double portion or something, all right? But praise the Lord. But you know what? This is a blessing to people. And when we feed children, somebody said, well, how does that really help? Well, we don't help them forever. Some, you know, our kids that eat at the school, they get to eat every day. But some of the places we go, we just go every now and then. But here's what it does. We present a meal. It's a man-sized meal. And little kids this big will eat every bite on that plate because they think it could be their last meal. And it's full of rice and beans and chicken. And then here's what happens. Every time we give somebody a meal, we preach the gospel. And that's what really it's about, is getting people into heaven. And you know what? It'll change a child's life. They could be the next president of Haiti. They could be the next leader. They could be the next pastor. But here's what it does. We had a little boy that I saw at one of our feedings recently, and he had knots on his arm and knots on his head. And I asked the pastor to bring him over, and I said, what happened to you? He said, well, my parents beat me. Now, I don't think that kids should be beat. They might need a spanking every now and then, but not like this kid had, all right? And I thought about it. He's not getting, you know, maybe he's a rough kid. I don't really know what's going on. You know, there's always two sides to the story, but I still don't think you should beat a kid. Are you understanding me? So here's this kid kind of beat up looking, but I thought, you know what? Today we're going to love on him. And he may not remember that meal he ate, but he's going to remember there was some people that came enough and told him that God loves him, and no matter what's going on in his life, somewhere along the line, he'll remember that, and we believe it'll change his life. So that's what feeding kids and doing water wells do. Watch this video, and then I'm going to say something else to you and then turn it back to the pastor. Let's watch this video. Hallelujah. Well, listen, you can get involved in drilling a well for as little as $1,500. I don't think you could drill a well in North Carolina for $1,500. But we can drill a well that will supply water. We put it at a church, and people come to that church. And if the pastor's smart, he hangs out there a lot. Like Jesus, he was always ministering at the well. And it's always women at the well, and it's always girls at the well. But I'm going to tell you, you can preach the gospel there all day long. Somebody will be getting water. Now, I want to share a scripture with you. Well, the Bible says, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. I believe you need to have a purpose in your giving. And I was talking to people in Seminole, Texas. I said to them, I said, you need to have a purpose. Give with a purpose. What do you want God to do? If you'll help me with families in Haiti, God will help you with your family. And if you'll help me with children in Haiti, God will help you with your children. You help me with the churches there, God will help you with your church. I just was talking like that in Seminole, Texas. It was a Friday night. It was Good Friday, all right? And I said this. I said, Ephesians 6:8 says, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. And I said, if you'll sow a seed, God will do something for your family. All right, there was a man in that church. He's a deacon in that church, First Assembly of God, Seminole, Texas. And he met me at the door Sunday morning. He met me at the door. He said, I sowed a seed on Friday night for my sister. She's been away from the Lord 51 years. He said, I sowed a seed. I called her last night, Saturday night. He said, I wasn't there to put the screws on her about Jesus or anything. I was just going to call her and see how she's doing. And while I was talking to her, she began to cry. She said, I've been away from the Lord for 51 years. She said, do you think he'd take me back? He prayed the sinner's prayer with his sister on the phone that night. And he told me that Sunday morning. The next week, I went to Monticello, Arkansas. I was at an Assemblies of God church there on the beginning of that Sunday. I told that story, what happened in Seminole, Texas. I told about the woman being saved that lived in California, but her brother sowed a seed in Texas. And I repeated the scripture, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord. And a deacon got a hold of that. Wednesday night when I walked through the door, a deacon was waiting on me. He said, I sowed a seed today, or the other day. I sowed a seed, but I got a phone call today. Excuse me. He said, I sowed a seed on Sunday. I'm believing for my son. He grew up in this church, but he's backslidden. Monticello is in the south central part of Arkansas. His son lives up in the northwest corner, Bentonville. That's Walmart area, all right? Walmart owns that area. And he said, my son's up there. He called me this afternoon. He said, Dad, I'm going to go to church tonight with my girlfriend. He said, and we're both getting saved tonight. His dad said, well, what if they don't give an altar call? He said, we're going to make one. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God does not love people more in Texas and Arkansas than North Carolina. He is no respecter of persons. But if you will give in faith tonight, I believe something will break loose in your life. All right? Let's give in faith. Let's do something great for God. Come on, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I like just raising money. Amen? Don't you like raising money? I feel like God is... you know, just impressed upon my heart that an online audience, you say, I thought you were going to talk to us. I am in a minute. But online audience, you know, there are people watching every night. And last night we had about 733 that viewed our service last night. Come on, give the online campus a hand. Come on. Amen. There's a lot of people doing church online today. So I was thinking a moment ago, what an incredible opportunity. And I told you a story last night. And as I tell the story again, would you please just kind of like mushrooms, start popping up and come on to the buckets, those of you that want to give. Don't wait for the music because it ain't going to start, okay? So just come on, stand up and give. Give what the Lord has laid on your heart. But I learned the value of water in the 90s. I shared this last night. I'm going to share it again because we got a different crowd. But I learned the value of water in 1994. When from this church, I went to India for 2 weeks, and Pastor Joy was with me, and we went 4 days with no shower, 4 days with no bath, and we ran into a problem. Our luggage was in Switzerland. We ran into a problem because our luggage never made it past Switzerland, and we landed in Mumbai, India, that's Bombay, and we didn't have any clothes. Now, Indian people are not like this big white boy here. They're just not this big, okay? They're very tiny. They're small. They're short. Okay. And so we thought, well, we got to buy some clothes. And we couldn't find anything anywhere that would go around us. Okay. We couldn't. So 4 days we went with no bath, 4 days with no change of clothes. And we finally got our clothes and God helped us get to the next level of what we were doing was we were being broken so that God could spill us out in India. That's what we were doing. We were being broken because we had all of our niceties packed. We had all of our great things that we brought with us to India. And God allowed it to be taken from us so that we would be humbled and be used by Him for the next 2 weeks. Amen. But I had been schooled. I had been taught, you know, hey, don't you let a single drop of water get in your lips. Because one amoeba, somebody say one amoeba. One amoeba is all it takes to turn you deathly sick. So I'm just so thankful that when I first got that first shower, I was just in the shower, you know, and it wasn't a real nice shower, but it was a shower. And I didn't realize that I was showering in a gravity-fed shower. No pump, no water system like back home. There was a tank on top of the house, and the servants were taking it up to the top of the house and filling it up once a day. Well, I ran the tank out, okay? It stopped. But when I brushed my teeth, and he said, you use all the water. He said, you know, take a bath this way in India. You turn it on and you wet your body and then you turn it off. Okay. Then you put the suds on, the soap on, you know, then you shower, then you turn it back on and you rinse it off. That's a shower. Okay. Look, I know what a shower is. Don't you? It's 20 minutes singing elevation worship in the shower. Come on, somebody. It's getting your muscles relaxed after a long day's work. 20 minutes, hot as you can stand it. Amen? But that's not what it was in India. And then I brushed my teeth, and accidentally, the third or fourth day after ministry, accidentally, I stuck my brush under their faucet and brushed my teeth. And from that point on, I was deathly sick for several days. I mean, it was horrible. The value of water. The value of water. It's so precious, you know? I mean, people, I get calls sometimes, hey, can you help me? They're cutting my water off. And it's a desperate sound on the other end, you know? And how many of you know what it's like in winter when you go to bed? Come on, old school people. You leave it dripping in the kitchen. Come on. You open the doors, turn the oven on. Come on. You know how to spare the water, don't you? Why? Because water is precious. And so I'm speaking primarily tonight to our online audience. If there'd just be 15 of you guys that are watching online that would just drop $100 on the push pay, and then we'd have a well, and we could just put CSIC online campus on that thing. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be great if 15 people gave $100 online? So Pastor Anoli, watch out for that. And if you want to do that, hey, you can. You know how to do it if you're signed up on our app. Now, as for you that are in the pews, you may be, you know, I'm just hearing the Lord say family. Wouldn't it be awesome? How many of you saw the signs on the wells when he was showing them on Sunday? Wouldn't it be awesome if there was a well on a mountain somewhere in Haiti that had your family name on it? Amen? So if you rallied your family and say, hey, let's do one for the Phillips family, okay? The Phillips well, amen? I own a well, bless God. Oh, come on. The Phillips well, amen? Wouldn't it be amazing? Let's just pray about that. Father, we thank you for wells in abundance. Lord, we just thank you for wells in abundance. Water that flows freely, Lord, in Haiti. Thank you for this ministry, God, that has done an incredible job of providing not just natural water, but living water through the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, I just thank you that you have a plan, that you're doing something, even in our midst tonight, even online tonight, you're doing something powerful. And so we're going to thank you for that in Jesus' strong name. Come on, would you thank him for wells tonight? Come on, as Pastor Doug comes back.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I want to say thank you to everyone that has given tonight. I appreciate you so much. Out in the foyer, I'm going to mention a few things. We have the book, Faith for the Holy Ghost, and I believe there's about 50 reasons right in here why you should be filled with the Holy Ghost and what he will do for your life. But I just opened up to page 40. The Holy Ghost is a down payment on that which is to come. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's the earnest of your inheritance. Amen? And I believe it's as close as you'll get to heaven on this earth when you're praying in the Holy Ghost and living that way. But this book is $10. We have another book, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity. I talk about why some do not prosper, why some have strife, struggle, and confusion in their home. And then some people have asked me, should I give to get? I answer that question in this book. I'm not going to tell you what my answer is. You got to buy the book, all right? And you can argue with me if you want, but we'll look at it. And then that's $10. And then we have sermons on MP3, seven on the Holy Ghost, just seven revival sermons. And then all of you know my favorite word by now, whatever. And then the back has Philippians 4:8. Pick some of those up and let them be a blessing to you. I've got, I am just totally blessed by the guests that are here tonight. And there's somebody very special that's here tonight. And I want Larissa and Jason to come up here right now. Can you guys come up here? Come on. Now, Larissa and Jason Cockrell are, I don't know Jason, okay? But come on up here, all the way up. Come on. But Larissa, I've known since she was a little girl. And her dad and mother let me come preach in Nebraska when I was about 24 years old. So I was very, very young. And her dad had a little white church with people hanging out the sides of it. It was the fastest growing Assemblies of God church in the nation. And then they moved to a bigger building, and then still her family are friends of ours, the Reimers. We love them. If they happen to be watching, I love the Reimers. They're now in Branson, but give us a good word or something, all right?
Well, we love you, Carpenters Church. We love you so much, and we're excited all the way here watching all the farmland and just taking in God's beauty and anticipating what God has for you guys right here in Ahoskie. And we believe, Jason and I both believe, that God has placed your pastors here to do amazing things and something so unique in a land that you guys can be a lighthouse to all that is around, and especially in this day and age, that you can bring the unity that comes from Jesus Christ. And we're so proud of you. So very proud.
Well, I feel the presence of God here. And as soon as we pulled in, I put my meter out, and I could say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. But when you walk into the sanctuary and the spirit of desperation and hunger of the people. It's, again, it's a reflection of your leadership, but just you go after God with your whole heart, and I believe the best is yet to come.
Praise the Lord. Number one people, all right? Praise God. I appreciate them. And, you know, Larissa, she always makes everybody better when she gets around them. That's a good thing. You know, she just talks good about everybody. And that's how their family is. They talk good about people. And that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Well, again, Pastor, thank you for allowing me to be here. And I love you guys so much. And I believe this is a great time in the Lord. The Lord wants to do something great in our life. How many came expecting tonight? I came expecting, all right? I didn't, you know, we were on our way here praying and just expecting God to move. We're not expecting to have nothing happen, but we came because we believe the Lord wants to do something, and when we gather in His name, there He is in the midst of us. He's here tonight, amen? Why don't you stand with me, if you will? I want to look over to Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, and Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, and I'm going to read through verse number 4, Acts chapter 8, verse number 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. If you'll remember, Stephen was stoned to death in the previous chapter. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He treated shamefully with injury the church. He was trying to stop the church, but instead it sent the gospel everywhere. How many know what the devil means for bad, God can turn for good? Amen? This man, Saul, was like a ferocious animal, according to the Amplified Bible, a ferocious animal seeking his prey. And really the words there where he was made havoc of the church, he treated them brutal and with cruelty, all right? And therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, stay with me. Let's go over to Acts 9, read three verses, and then I'll let you sit down, all right? Acts 9, verses 1 through 3. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, he's still doing the same thing. He's treating people brutally and cruel. And the Bible said he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went under the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. See, there was some Christians that had escaped to Damascus, and he was going there to find them. And we find something that happened. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. You know, I like suddenlies, amen? So let's believe the Lord for suddenly God to move, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Father God, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the presence of the Lord is real. We thank you for the glory of the Lord is risen in this place. And we declare that nothing is impossible tonight. Lord, let the Word of God explode in us. And again, we ask that you do things so awesome and great that no man receive glory or credit, but that Jesus would be exalted. Tonight we know in this house the Word has been preached. The Word has been watered. We declare tonight that this is harvest time in the name of Jesus. Lord, from this day forward, let there be unprecedented number of people coming to the altar and getting right with God and giving their heart to Jesus. We declare a husky, Jesus is Lord in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. We give you all the glory. And everybody said, amen. All right, you may be seated tonight. I want to speak just for a minute about a word that we know about, the word power in the Bible. There's really two types of power, but there's authority power and there's Holy Ghost power, miraculous power. But I believe we're going to use the word tonight, power, this way. It is really this, a source or means of supplying energy. And I believe I run into people in church all the time that say I'm burned out. And I run into people that say I need a vacation and I need this and I need that. I'm going to tell you something. I sat at home long enough in 2020, I don't need any more time at home. All right, but there are people that are even stressed out to the max over things going on right now, and it's causing a lot of difficulty. But the Bible talks about the days that we are living in. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first four verses talk about the condition of the world right now. It says there'll be those that are covetous and those that are lovers of themselves and boasters and proud and everything that's going on in the world today. But verse 5 is written to the church. Verse 5 says something there. It says, in the last days, some will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It says, from such turn away. There are churches today that deny the miraculous power of God. Now, I'm not slamming people, but I'm going to tell you something. The church should have already been able to handle Corona. We already should have had enough power to drive this off of the force of the earth. But most of the church is sitting back and saying, I'm going to let Corona happen to me. I think the church ought to say, I'm happening to Corona. I believe we ought to rise up with the power of God and realize that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen in here? I don't want to do without the power of God. If we're not going to have the power of God, we might as well shut the church down, because we would just be a club. And if I'm going to join a club, you better have a golf course. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, I don't want to be a part of a club. I want to be a place where God meets and the power of God manifests and people's lives are changed and people's lives are made different and people are set free from the power of the enemy. Now, we read in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3. This man, Saul, he was on his way and out, down the road, and whether he's riding a horse, I feel like he was riding a horse because people that are important didn't walk. All right, but we'll leave that alone. You can argue, I don't know, I just said what I think, okay? But don't argue with the Bible, all right? But he's on the road to Damascus, and as he journeyed, the Bible said he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe happened that day on his way to Damascus. This is a man that was brutal to people. He was cruel. He did things that would, he would torment the Christians. And yet, that day, he had, number one, a power encounter. When that light shined from heaven and knocked him to the ground, that was a power encounter. How many believe God still does power encounters today? I don't know, but you may have walked in here and you think you don't need anything, but I'm praying tonight that God gives people a power encounter. A power encounter is when you know that you have come in contact with the Almighty and He is doing something in your life. I remember preaching in Independence, Missouri years ago. I was at a church I'd never been. I was actually staying with my wife's aunt nearby in Independence. Independence is where the Chiefs play, all right? Just down the road is their big Arrowhead Stadium. And I went to church that morning, and I'd never been to that church. So I don't know how people respond. I don't know if they sit there, you know, like a bump on a log. I don't know if you normally get excited. See, I'm a visitor, so I don't know how you normally act. Are you understanding that? But while I was preaching, I could see the very back row, and there was a man sitting on that back row that as I was preaching, he was shaking. And he was actually kind of shaking violently. And I thought, well, this is how he acts every week. I don't know any better. I'm just going to keep preaching. I never addressed the situation. And the more I preached, the more he shook. And he's holding the pew in front of him, and his knuckles are all white from gripping it so tight. And when I got to the end of my message, I gave an invitation for people to give their heart to Jesus. And when I gave that invitation, that man catapulted out of his seat. And he ran to the altar and he knelt at the front. And there was other people that came that morning. And when I went to pray for them, this man, he got up off of his knees and he went from tears of repentance to tears of joy. And he grabbed me after I prayed him by the arm. And he said, "You don't know what happened to me today." I said, "Well, you got saved." He said, "No, I'm talking about in my seat in the back of the church." He said, I don't normally act that way. He said, "I don't normally shake." He said, "I only really come to church for one reason. My wife will cook me a better meal." Now, that's some good doctrine that'll build the church. Tell your husband you'll give him the best fixings on Sunday and he'll be in church. Burn his meal on Saturday, Friday, Thursday, you know, but give him good food on Sunday. He might come to church. This is not a marriage seminar, by the way. But he said, "I only come to church for really one reason, because my wife cooks me a better meal if I come to church." He said, "But when you begin to preach," he said, "normally when I go to church, I usually get up about halfway through the service and have myself a smoke. I go out in the parking lot and have a smoke." He said, "Today I was getting ready to get up while you were preaching," he said, "but something was holding me down." He said, "I could not move." He was arrested by that power of the Holy Ghost. He's having a power encounter. He said, "When you gave an invitation," he said, I stood up, but I still couldn't go anywhere. And he said, "When you said, 'Come to the front,' it felt like somebody shoved me." He said, "I looked back to see if my wife had pushed me." He said, "But she was there quietly praying to herself." I'm going to tell you something. God can get a hold of anybody tonight. If God can get a hold of this man by the name of Saul and make him become Paul, it was one of the most dramatic conversions you'll find in the Bible. He was going one direction, but when he came to Jesus, everything turned around. Old things pass away and all things become new. You say, "Well, is somebody going to have a light shine from heaven and knock them to the ground?" Well, I've read about others in history seeing a light and coming to the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, I believe power encounters come in different ways. I believe they come like they did in Acts 2 and 37 when Peter preached the word. They said their heart was pricked within them, or a pricked heart. Or maybe it comes like it did in Acts 16 where Lydia the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord hath opened, or open heart surgery. Or maybe it comes like it did in Luke 24 verse 32 when Jesus spoke to the men on the road to Emmaus. They said, "Our heart does burn within us." I call that Holy Ghost heartburn. But I don't know who you are tonight, but get ready. There's a power encounter for somebody in this place tonight. God wants to get a hold of your life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was 19 years of age, I went to a camp meeting in Oklahoma City. And I did not go there because I wanted to be in church. I just went there because my boss was a Christian. And I was in the summer months. I was out of college for that summer. And I worked for a Christian man. And he would let me out of work if I told him I wanted to go to church. So I went to church. And my parents were sitting about seven rows back, and I went because there would be cute girls at camp meeting, and all the preacher's kids sat back in one corner of camp meeting, and I got there a little bit late, and there wasn't a seat for me. And I'm going to tell you something, I went and sat by my mom, and that preacher, he began to preach. And he had the longest, boniest finger I'd ever seen. He was from Texas, and it was pointing right through me. And that night, it was like a light shining from heaven. It was like open heart surgery. It was like a pricked heart and Holy Ghost heartburn all rolled into one. I knew that God was dealing with me. But let me read something to you. I'll finish that story. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Saul, he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, how many know we don't talk like that? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I didn't even know what that meant. All right? I like the King James because I memorized too much, okay? So that's why I read it. But I had to look that up in the Amplified Bible. It said, It's hard for thee to kick against the goad. I didn't even know what that was, so I had to look up the word goad, all right? And goad is a long stick with a sharp end on it, and if you were to plow your field with cattle or oxen, you might take a stick with a sharp end on it and jab the side of that cattle or that oxen to get them to do what you want them to do. And eventually, it would begin to bloody their side. What the Word of God is saying here, it turns out bloody for you to kick against the power of God. I'm going to tell you something. It is not the time to say, I don't want to come to Jesus. It is not the time to say, I don't want to move in revival. This is the time to say, I am ready for God to move. I want Him to move in my life and in my heart. Let me finish reading here. All right? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now listen, I believe sometimes we try to hold back. Here I was 19 years of age. I'm going to tell you something. I had no plan on God speaking to me that night. I had no idea. I'm running from the call of God. I was called to preach at 15, and for the next 4 years, I did everything I could do to disqualify myself from the ministry. But how many know the gifts and calling of God are without repentance? God does not change His mind about you. See, people, they may disqualify you. Your family, they all know your worst days. But I'm going to tell you something. God, He has called you, and He will perform that which He has called you. And I believe until the day of Jesus, we need to press on because good things are coming your way. Now, there I am, 19 years of age, sitting by my mom. And that preacher's given an invitation. He preached on the prodigal son, and there I am. It was me. I'd taken everything good that the church had. I'd taken everything that the Father God had given me. I had taken it and I had squandered it away. But I'm going to tell you something. I kept fighting. I kept saying, I'm not going to the altar. I'm not going to the altar. I'm saying that on the inside. I'm not saying it on the outside. I'm not going to the altar. I'm going to tell you, something began, I can't prove it, you can take it or leave it, but something began to work on me. This could be your last chance. This could be your last chance. Folks, I had been to the altar many, many times, almost every Sunday night. But I heard the Lord saying, this could be your last chance. How many understand? We think that, you know, His mercy endures forever. It does. But let's be full gospel. How about Proverbs 29 and 1? We probably don't have that in our memory book. But Proverbs 29 and 1 says, He that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm preaching tonight to somebody. It's time you quit messing around. It's time that people quit messing around. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the day to respond in a positive manner to the power of God drawing you to Jesus. Let's go on here. Acts chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now, this is a different way to enter into town. He's coming in on his horse like he's somebody, but he's walking in now. They're leading him by their hand. Something's happened. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. The Lord's dealing with him. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. How many know when you get in trouble, you learn how to pray? That's when everybody, when they're in trouble, pray, and then they try to pray. I'm going to tell you something. We should be people that pray before trouble comes. We need to have a relationship with God. And how you have a relationship is not call on only when you have an emergency. You remember in the days when, before everybody had a cell phone, on Saturday they would have football games on TV at the colleges. And I always liked when they would scan the student section, because they'd be wearing weird clothes and holding up signs, and somebody'd hold up a sign, hey mom, send money. Okay? And I got to think about that. That's how some of us do with God. That's when we pray. When we're low on money, we say, hey God, send money. And when we're low on peace, hey God, send me some peace. And when we're going through trouble, God, I'm in trouble, help me. But how many understand that student, if he'd have held up a sign, hey, mom, I love you, he'd probably got a check in the mail. See, some of us need to realize that we need to have a relationship. It's called worship. We give ourselves to him. And as we give ourselves to him, he gives back to us. Are you with me tonight? Said he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You know what? I thank God for the supernatural. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. We should have some dreams and visions in these last days. And not only that, I like the first part, that our sons and our daughters will prophesy. See, to prophesy, you got to be saved. So some of you got some children bound by alcohol, bound by drugs, bound by tormented thoughts and all kinds of issues, but I say in the last days, not only are they going to get saved, but they're going to have the word of God coming out of their mouth. They're going to say, thus saith the Lord, get off your drugs and get off your alcohol and turn to Jesus. That's the days we live in. Amen. Thank God for the supernatural. I said it last night, we need the supernatural. We need the gifts of the Spirit right now more than ever. Folks, you know what? We are to covet earnestly, desire the gifts. And you know what gifts we need? We always say, whatever gift we need, you know, that's what we're believing for. But the truth is, we need gifts of healing right now across America and the world. And we need miracles. We need the gift of faith. We need these things beginning to happen like never before. Some of you ought to be praying for that, because I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of people that need those things. And what does it say? When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, we profit by the manifestation. We will be blessed by those gifts being in manifestation. We need them more than ever. We need another healing revival. We need another miracle working revival. Come on. You know what? God will use some people, but God is looking for somebody to say, look, I'm available, God. I'm available to you in these last days. And when he uses you, it will change the course of history. All right, let me go on. Acts 9, verse 13. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now listen to me tonight. The King James make it sound, you know, Ananias said, you know, this guy, I heard he does bad stuff. But I really said, I really think he was like this. Lord, pick somebody else. This guy is cruel. He's brutal. He could tear me to pieces. I've heard how much evil he has done. But the Lord said he is a chosen vessel. How many know there's a chosen vessel for the house? Now, I believe there's more to it than what I'm going to say. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a friend of mine that's in West Texas, and he took a church of about 30 people. And one drug dealer got saved. And in that church, over 70 people came to Jesus because of that one chosen vessel. And today that church is running well over 1,000. How does that happen? God's got somebody in this town that everybody, I'm not going to go talk to him. But that might be the very one that brings the city to the Lord. I was preaching years ago. And I haven't told this story in a long time, but I was preaching years ago in southwest Missouri. All right, I was supposed to preach in Cape Girardeau, which is kind of near Paducah. You just cross the river there. And I got canceled at a big church. And the only church that wanted me to come, I was already in that area, was this little church in a little town that only had 1,100 and some people in it, all right? And Advance, Missouri, all right? Not Advance, Advance, okay? And I'd already been there before. I didn't like it. The hotel didn't have phones in the room, you know, back when you didn't even have a cell phone. And if you left the light on, they got mad. It wasn't a Motel 6. They didn't leave the light on for you. You know, at Motel 6, they got to leave the light on because you can't see the drug dealers if you don't leave the light on. I guess you don't stay at hotels. I know nobody loves me when they put me in a Motel 6. Okay, anyway, if that's where you spend your vacation, power to you, man. Thank God for the Second Amendment. Okay, well, let me get back up here. It's not, I need like a pulpit like the old ones that hide you a little bit. But as I'm driving into town, I'm driving and I'm praying, but it's really called complaining. How many know sometimes our prayers are just complaining? I'm like, God, why do I have to go to Advance, Missouri? You know that other church was bigger and there's more people and all, you know, I was just having a little pity party. Don't act like you haven't ever had one. So I'm going to tell you, the chosen vessel got saved 2 weeks before I got there. 2 Sundays before I got there, actually the Saturday, 2 Saturdays before I got there, on Saturday night, there's a man by the name of Eddie Kennedy. Eddie Kennedy was known to be the meanest man in Advance, Missouri. He sold drugs to everybody, including the law enforcement. He beat his wife. He ignored his children, slept around on her. He was rough, okay? He's a truck driver. Truck driver didn't make him bad, but he'd drive across the country and never pay any tolls. He'd go around everything. He said on a Saturday night, 2 weeks before I got there, he said he was laying in bed. I believe he had a power encounter. He's laying in bed, and he said the fan moved and talked to him. He called his wife, Linda, and he said, Linda, that fan just moved and talked to me. She looked at him like, you're crazy, Eddie. Because how many know fans don't talk to you? She said, put her hand on her hip. She said, Eddie, what did the fan say? He said, the fan said that I'm surely going to die. Now, Linda did not have a church background, but she'd been to youth camp one time, Assemblies of God youth camp. She said to Eddie, the only hope for you, Eddie, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. She left him in the room. The next morning, Eddie got the whole family up very early. He said, get your best clothes on. They said, why? We're going to church. They said, we've never been to church. He said, we're going today. They said, where are we going to go? Well, we're going to go to that church they built on the outside of town that has all the cars on Sunday. A Christian life. They'd never been there. They don't know anybody there. They show up to church on that Sunday. The pastor preaches, gives an invitation. Eddie and his wife and two children come to the altar, give their heart to Jesus. Now, they know nothing. All right? The next Sunday, they come back to church. That's what saved people ought to do. It's funny how some people get saved and they don't come back to church. He came back to church. And Eddie and his wife, they went up to the pastor after church. They said, Pastor, we've been having a discussion. How many know that means in married talk, they've been fighting? Pastor, we've been having a discussion. Now, you may not agree with this. The views of the evangelists are not necessarily that of the management, okay? But they went up to the pastor and said, Pastor, we've been having a discussion. Is it a sin to smoke marijuana? The pastor, he didn't really know how to answer politically correct. You know, this is a long time ago. You know, it was like, well, you know, before Bill Clinton, as long as you don't inhale. Okay, whatever. But the pastor, he says, yes, it's a sin to smoke marijuana. Eddie's wife jams him in the ribs with her elbow. See, I told you so, Eddie. So they didn't know anything. The next week they come back, I happen to be there. I preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was a great time for me to be in that church because when I asked people to come, they lined up all across the front to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Eddie stood on this side. Evidently, he got separated from his wife. She was over on this side. But when I laid hands on Linda, Eddie fell out under the power and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. When that service was over, I challenged people, like I want you to do tomorrow night. I said, do whatever you got to do to bring people to church. I said, hog tie them if you have to. In North Carolina, you know what hog tie means. Okay, I think you got more hogs in North Carolina than the rest of the world, all right? Thank God for bacon. Okay, don't act like, you know, we're vegetarians here. Man, yeah, well, every vegetable tastes better with bacon. All right, anyway. Forgive if, you know, if I rub your cat the wrong way tonight, you need to turn him around. Some of you will catch that later, okay. And, you know, let me go back to, I used to preach in Tulsa. There's an old guy there, and he'd sit there, and you'd step on people's toes a little bit. He'd stand up real slow. Ouch, and he'd sit back down. And then if he liked what you said, he'd stand up real slow and say, say that again, brother. So, you know, we need some of that, all right? But listen, Eddie's filled with the Holy Ghost. I challenge people. Do whatever it takes to bring somebody to church tonight. Hog time, I said that. That meant to me, just try real hard. I come to church about 7 o'clock that night. I just get there right before time because in those days you didn't have to have PowerPoint to have power. Somebody will get that later. All right, but I get there about 7 o'clock and Jim Roberts is an usher there. Jim stops me at the door. He says, Doug, you're not going to believe what Eddie did. I said, what? He said, look in the sanctuary. I look in there, and Eddie's sitting on the second row, but the first three rows are full of tough-looking men that look like they don't normally come to church. Are you understanding me? I said, Jim, what's going on? Why are all those men there with Eddie? He said, that's the problem. Remember you said hog-tie people if you had to? Eddie went around town threatening all of his friends that if they didn't come to church, he'd beat them up. See, last week he didn't know it was a sin to smoke marijuana. You got to give people a break, all right? So I didn't know how those men were going to respond while I preached. But as I was preaching, those tough men, something happened. Tears began to run down their face and God moved on their life. And I'm going to tell you, when I gave the invitation, every one of those men got up and came to the altar. And Eddie was jumping out of his skin at the end of the service. I mean, he's jumping up and down. He said, he's saying to his friends, what was it that got to you when the preacher said that? They said, we didn't understand a word the preacher said. But when we walked in here, we felt something we've never felt before. It was the presence of God that drew them to Jesus. I could have preached Humpty Dumpty, sat on the wall, and they would have got saved, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's why it's important how you walk into the sanctuary. That's why it's important how you respond to worship. That's why it's important, because there are bound people all around that need you to lift up the name of Jesus, that all men might be drawn unto Him. That revival we started to do a few days, we had 72 first-time conversions in that church, not including all the backslidden people that got back to the Lord. The church grew from the revival. I'm going to tell you something. There's a chosen vessel. It might be the meanest person in this town, but God may speak to you to go speak to them. Speak. They don't have anybody that talks nice to them. They don't have anybody that doesn't have some connection to them, that the only reason they're talking nice is they want something from them. But why doesn't somebody from Carpenter's Shop International go and tell somebody, God loves you and I do too, and I've been praying for you. I believe it'll change somebody's life, and it could change the complexion of the church in a moment. Acts 9 verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. Said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've had a power encounter, the second thing you need is a power infilling. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I say it all the time. Only the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven, but the Holy Ghost gives you victory on the way to heaven. I believe it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he that those that believe should receive. If you're a believer, you ought to receive the Holy Ghost. I believe the will of God concerning you is not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is God's will to fill you. The Bible says in Acts 2:39, the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off. He was talking to the 3,000 that got saved that day. This promise is for you to be filled with the Spirit and the children of the 3,000. But when he said all that are afar off, he was including us tonight in North Carolina. If you believe it, say amen. I was preaching in Kingfisher, Oklahoma, at a church that I go every January. I will go there until they quit asking me, all right? I go there, and I'd never been there. It was about the same time I preached for Larissa's father and mother. I was 24 years old, and I was getting a few invitations and getting a few opportunities, but I went to that church, and they had just built a new building. But praise and worship was so bad, I counted the seats. Don't act like you don't know. Some of you know how many lights are in the building. You know how many, you know. Okay, I guess nobody else does stuff to keep awake. But I counted the seats. There was 200 seats in that new building. And in those days, everybody sat on the platform. I sat on the platform, and there was only 40 people there, and all 40 of them sat on the back two rows. So there's 160 empty seats between me and the people. And they didn't like me because I got up off the platform, and I went right back in front of the back two rows and preached. And you know, in Oklahoma, you're a good preacher if you can spit seven rows back. But that's why I'm staying up on the platform, because I don't want any of you getting nervous about corona spit. Okay, whatever. Everybody say whatever. But I got right in their face, and they were not liking me. The more I preach, the madder they look. And there was one guy that looked, he just looked ticked off, okay? Can I say ticked off here? Okay? I was at a church one time, and I said ticked off, and this old lady met me in the foyer. She said, "Brother Eccles, I really liked your preaching until you cussed." I'm like, "What?" She said, "You know, you said somebody was really mad." I said, "Oh, ticked off?" She said, "There you go again, son." I said, "Ma'am, when I cussed, ticked off wasn't one of the words I used." Anyway, I hadn't thought of that in a long time, man. It's fun, the stuff that happens in church. Oh, praise the Lord. That lady would roll over in her grave if she saw stuff that happens in church now. So I'm preaching at that church. And while I'm preaching, I'm having these thoughts. Why am I even here? That is not a good thought to have while you're preaching. Why am I here? And nobody's responding. You all right? And that guy in the back row is looking madder and madder the more I preach. I give an invitation. I walk back to the front. I say, "Are you ready to meet God? If you're not, I want you to come to the front." One girl came. 15 years old. She had dark hair. When she came, I said, "What'd you come for?" She said, "I'm not sure." "That's okay." I said, "Would you like to ask Jesus Christ in your heart and life?" She said, "Yes, I would." I prayed the sinner's prayer with her. I still had 39 mean and ugly people looking at me, but I got one. She's saved. I said, "Would you like to be filled with the Holy Ghost?" She said, "What's the Holy Ghost?" Now, I'm thinking if you go to a full gospel church, you ought to know something about the Holy Ghost, even if it's wrong. But she says, "What's the Holy Ghost?" So I look at her and I said, "Young lady," I said, "do you attend this church?" She said, "I've never been to church in my life." She said, "I'm here from California. We're visiting my uncle." She turned around and pointed at a guy on the back row. She said, "I think he's a deacon at this church." He was the ugliest, meanest one of them all. That's my little, I'm a pastor's son. I can dig at the deacons a little bit, all right? She said, "We came here for vacation, but he came into my cousin and I's room and said, if you're going to eat lunch today, you're going to go with me to church." Now, that's some good doctrine. See, the problem we have is we have relatives come in for vacation, and the only reason they come here is because they want to go to the beach, and it's close enough that they can drive. So when they come in on a Sunday, you guys all miss church, and you've been crying for them to get saved, and you've been crying around the altar, "Lord, save my relatives." And when they finally come to town, you don't even bring them to church. The Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? They've got to hear. I'm preaching good right here. So I don't know what to do. I got a young lady down at the altar, doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. You know what I do? I go through my little evangelist rabbit path. I say to her, "If your heavenly Father wants to give good, or if your earthly Father wants to give you good gifts, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" I go to Acts 1. You'll receive power after that. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Acts 2, 1-4. Acts 8. Acts 10. Acts 19. I go clear through that and I say, "Lift up your hands and open your mouth, and when I lay hands on you, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." She said, "Okay." That's better than some people come to church. They're like, they've been in church, "Oh, you know, you're going to have to rub it in on me. You're going to have to anoint me 42,000 times, and I'm going to tarry." I'm going to tell you, I don't tarry for a gift. I'm going to get this Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to be filled because He has given it to me, and I'm just going to receive. When I laid hands on her, she fell out under the power of God. She didn't even know she was supposed to. That's a joke. You know, she'd never been to church. She didn't know people fall out. She fell out. Well, now about 12 of the mean and ugly people in the back want prayer. So they come up, I pray for them. About half an hour later, I come over and pick that young girl up by the hand. When I help her up, she begins to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. She's had a power encounter. Now she has a power infilling. Let me hurry up and close. Acts 9, verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus, right here. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Verse 27 said he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 29 said he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. I believe if you have a power encounter and a power infilling, the third thing is automatic. You have a power overflow. Are you with me? You ought to have a power overflow. He went and preached Christ. Immediately he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is wanting you to stand up with the power that you have and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got people that are all about their causes, but it seems like the Christian has went and hid in these days. But it's time that we rise up with the power of God in us and the love of God in our heart and begin to speak the word of truth and began to speak about the cross of Calvary. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let me close with this story, all right? I was preaching in Tulsa, and this is before I lived there, and I was preaching in a little town, Sperry, and one day I went to the mall. There was an outlet mall in Tulsa. Now the Baptists bought it and made a church out of it. Thank God the Baptists are taking over the mall. Amen. That way my wife can't. Okay, whatever. You got anything to... did you give me any signals on that? Usually she gives me this or the thumbs down. I saw nothing. But anyway, I went to the mall. And I went to make a purchase at the counter. And I had gone to Evangel University. It was Evangel College when I went. And because I went there, they gave me a credit card that said Evangel on it, okay? And I don't know how it is, but when I got saved, I got out of bondage. When I got my Christian credit card, I got back into bondage. But I laid that on the counter. And when I laid it on the counter, the woman recognized Evangel in Springfield, Missouri. She said to me, "Oh, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm not ashamed." She said, "I'm a Christian too." She said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm holding revival over in Sperry. I'm an evangelist." She comes out behind that counter and grabs me by the arm and yanks me behind a rack of dresses. And she says, "Do you have a moment?" I was afraid to say no. And she began to tell me a story that I'm going to close with tonight. She said she was Southern Baptist. Her best friend was the Southern Baptist pastor's wife. And they began to watch television. People say you could be filled with the Holy Ghost, that it was not done away with, but people were still being filled with the Holy Ghost like they were in the book of Acts. Her and her friend began to get hungry. They began to read books of people's testimony of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Her friend's the pastor's wife, and one Sunday morning she said, "We went into the pastor's office before church. Sunday school was going on, and we went in there. He's doing the last minute preparation from the service, you know, marking down what hymn they're going to sing, when they're going to take the offering, who's going to do this, and all the different stuff." They walked in there and said to the pastor, her friend's husband, "We want this Holy Ghost we read, see, and hear about. We believe it's for today." That pastor, she said he looked at those two ladies, his wife and this lady that was talking to me. He said, "You women are bugging me. We're going to settle this thing once and for all." He said, "I want to make a deal with you. I'm going to kneel down here and ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And if he does, so be it. But if he doesn't, I don't want to ever hear about it again. Is it a deal? The women said, it's a deal. I like some women like that, some faith-filled women, all right? That woman said he got down on his knees to pray. And he began to pray wrong if he didn't want to receive, because he prayed the Word of God. He said, your Word says, Lord, that if your earthly Father wants to give you good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That woman told me the Holy Spirit had a sense of humor that morning. He jumped over those ladies, but got all over that Southern Baptist pastor. And in that Southern Baptist pastor's office, he began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. He just kept speaking in tongues, and the first buzzer went off for Sunday school, and he's still praying in the Holy Ghost. The second buzzer goes off. They go over there and kind of shake him a little bit. I said, you got to get in there. Church has started. Well, the way they would do things in that church, he would walk down the middle aisle and just walk right up on the platform. And when he did, it was time to pray after the hymns. So he walked down that aisle, but before he did, the women asked him, what are you going to tell the church? He said, I don't know. And he said, I think I'll wait till next week to tell them. Song leader was doing his thing at the front. Got to the last chorus of the third verse. He just walks off. The pastor walks up into the pulpit. He'd planned on telling them next week, but he did something very odd. She said he laid his head down on the pulpit like this. And he began to pray, but when he prayed, he did not pray in English. He began to pray in tongues. She said he was having a power overflow. He couldn't hold it in. She said that church, there was about 150 there that morning. She said the pastor told him later he could hear people getting up out of their seat. He thought they were going out in the parking lot to give him the left foot of fellowship. They were going to get rid of him as their pastor. But when he finally picked his head up off that pulpit, he looked around the altar, and there were about 150 Southern Baptist believers praying, God, send us the same Holy Ghost that our pastor has received. That morning, that Holy Ghost, Southern Baptist church became a Holy Ghost Southern Baptist church. I'm going to tell you something. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I'm telling you, that's Assemblies of God flesh, and Pentecostal Holiness flesh, and Baptist flesh, and Presbyterian flesh, and Methodist flesh, and Catholic flesh. If you are hungry, he will fill you in these last days. Come on, everybody stand to your feet, lift up your hands. Come on, lift up your hands. If you're hungry, lift up your hands and begin to praise God. Come on. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Let's do it right now. Come on, lift up your voice to God. You're lift it up loud. Come on, you're not going to be as loud as me, but come on, you can do it louder than that. Come on, we rejoice in you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, we love you tonight. We glorify your name. Let the Spirit of God move in this place tonight. Let the Spirit of God move in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Will you bow your head and close your eyes in this place? Hallelujah. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? And I want you to check yourself. Some of you God has been dealing with. Some of you have been having a power encounter. Maybe it's not a light shining from heaven, but God is speaking to your heart right now. He's tugging on your heart. And I'm going to be very honest today. This is not the time to fool around. I believe we are living in the last of the last days. A lot of stuff is going on in this world. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not hiding up in some hole somewhere, but I am occupying till he comes. I'm ready to take as many people with me to heaven as I can. But I'm saying this to you tonight. It is not the time to play around. It is not the time to push God away. It turns out bloody for you to kick against the power of God. God is dealing with somebody tonight. All over this building, I'm going to ask you this question that I've asked hundreds and even thousands of times in my ministry. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? That's all I'm asking. If you're not where you should be with the Lord, you're not ready to meet God. If your relationship with the Lord is not up to date, you're not ready to meet God. If you've got sin in your life, you are not ready to meet God. God's dealing with hearts right now. In this building, you say, "Preacher, if I'm honest tonight, I'd have to say I'm not ready to meet God. God's dealing with my heart." If that's you, would you lift up your hand in this place tonight? God's dealing with my heart. Hallelujah. In this building, God's dealing with my heart, preacher. Thank you for the hands lifted up. Thank you. Come on, we got several hands raised, but I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with others. You say, "Well, you know, preacher, I'm a leader in this church." I don't care. I'm going to tell you what I was. When I was 19, I could fill a bus on Sunday. 60 or more kids would come to church. I knocked on every door in the town that I lived in, inviting kids to church. I taught 44-year-olds on Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I cleaned the church. I did all these things backslidden. So you can't tell me that somebody else here doesn't do some stuff for the Lord in a backslidden condition. If I can do that backslidden, how much more should you do if you're saved? Come on. I'm not saying you ought to do things backslidden. I'm just saying I was away from God and I could still do what I had to do. Are you understanding me? I'm the preacher's son. I got stuck in a lot of stuff. And I'm thankful for it. It was a good training ground for me. But I'm asking tonight, if you raised your hand or you should have, God's dealing with your heart. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." We don't like that verse. We like, "The mercy of the Lord endures forever." I don't know how to juggle the two, but all I'm going to say is, don't mess around. Don't mess around. God's dealing with your heart. In this building tonight, you raised your hand or you should have. I'm not asking anybody to know how to pray. I'll help you pray if you'll come. I'm not asking you to shake my hand. I'm not asking you any of these things. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking what you did in the past. I'm talking about right now. If you're not sure you're ready to meet God, I'm asking you to come to this altar right now and stand in front of me right here. Quickly, come on. Come on, sir. Come on in the back. Come on the side. Right over here. Quickly. Come on, quickly come. Quickly come. Mercy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Is there anybody else? Anybody else tonight? I'm glad you came. God's been dealing with your life a long time. God's been dealing with your life a long time. But tonight's the night mercy collides with you. Mercy. Mercy. Come on, God's been dealing with you a long time. You've had a tender heart at times. But tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. I want to ask in this building, anybody want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You've had a power encounter. You know you're saved. You're a believer. But I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be. Come and join me right here in this altar. Quickly. Quickly come. Quickly come. Come on. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never been filled. Third, somebody needs to have a power overflow. You're filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to tell you, we need a refilling. But one thing I notice in the book of Acts, a lot of times when they are filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe the Lord gave me something. I want Lori, remind me of this because I'm going to add it to something. I think this is the end of something else I need. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost, but everywhere they were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was boldness. See, I'm going to say it like this. You're either cold or you're bold, and there's no in between. You're either cold or you're bold, and there's no in-between. Boldness is an ingredient of a Spirit-filled believer. In this building, some of you want some boldness, some courage. Join me at this altar. Come on. You say, "I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but I just need that boldness to manifest." Folks, we don't need the minimum. We ought to go for the maximum. I need some boldness. Come on. to stand for the Lord. I need boldness to stand for my family at school. I need boldness at the places I go to stand for the Lord. Can you do that? Come on. Now listen. We got about 7 or 8 people down here. Maybe 9. I don't know. I counted real quick. But I want somebody to come and stand behind them. But I don't want you to touch anybody. I just want you to come and stand behind them, okay? You're not going to touch anybody, but you're going to stand behind somebody because, you know, tomorrow they may have to stand alone, but tonight they can stand with somebody helping them. I want you to come and stand behind somebody that you'll help me pray with, all right? You're not going to touch them, but you'll just stand behind them close enough where you can pray for them just like this, like I am right here. You're just going to stand behind somebody. Can I get like 9 people to come and just stand behind some people here? Come on, I want you to help me. I'm not asking you to do anything that's scary. All right, I got 2 more down here. 1 more. Ken, let somebody through right there. They're coming in over here. Right over here. I want everybody to lift up your hands right now. Again, the Bible says, I will that men pray everywhere. That's mankind, men, women, teenagers, children. I will that men pray everywhere. That's including in Ahoskie, North Carolina. I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. When we lift up our hands, we're saying we're not mad at God and we're here in faith. I'm going to tell you, you've had some things happen that made you mad at God at times, but I'm telling you, that's broke off of you right now in the name of Jesus. There's some things that have made you mad. You were like, why, God? But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to understand that God is good and the devil is a bad devil. Everybody pray this with me right now. In the name of Jesus, everybody, come on, pray this out loud with me. Dear God in heaven, I know that you're dealing with my heart tonight.
I know you're dealing with my heart tonight.
Jesus, come in. I need a fresh start.
I need a new beginning.
I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. And that blood is giving me a new beginning. I repent of my past. I am a new creation tonight. Those old things have passed away. All things have become new. I believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he is my Lord, my Savior, my Master. You're merciful to me. Thank you for that grace. I don't deserve it, but I receive it. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Spirit tonight. Your good Holy Spirit, and give me boldness like I've never had before in the name of Jesus. Come on, reach out to God right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I declare breakthrough. Come on, let the rivers of God begin to flow. Come on, you're behind somebody, just begin praying. If you're in your seat, stretch out your hand toward these in the altar. Loose in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a renewing and a refreshing right now. Lord, it's pouring down. Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Never be the same in the name of Jesus. Never be the same in the name of Jesus. Never be the same. Lord, the compassion that he has, Lord, for others, Lord, let it be the compassion of Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, let that anointing flow in the name of Jesus. Your hand right there on you. In the name of Jesus, receive. New. Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every bondage broke off in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, God's doing it for you tonight. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're not playing a game tonight. This is real. in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's God touching you right there. That's the anointing of God. Come on, it's destroying the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Word of God is renewing your mind, refreshing you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those thoughts that have been attacking you, we bring them into captivity now in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, touch her in a great way. Come on, let God touch you in a great way in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, all over this building. Come on, put a hand on your chest all over this building and ask God to give you boldness. Come on, every person in this building, put your hand on your chest and ask God to give you a boldness and a courage like you've never had before. In the name of Jesus, bold, 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 bold. Fear not in the name of Jesus.
Worship
the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, he's not done blessing you. If you're still hungry, be filled. Come on, receive the Holy Ghost. Come on, out of your belly flow rivers of living water.
You ask me to be your.
Just stay in his presence.
Read something to you. Everybody look at me for a minute. Acts 19 verse 11. And God wrought special miracles. One translation says unusual miracles. How many know in most churches any miracle would be unusual? It said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Tonight before service, well, during praise and worship, I went back and looked in every office looking for scissors. I will tell you that this is a church without scissors. But listen, one of the men went and got me some scissors. And I took my handkerchief and just had my wife just cut it up. I had it on me all service. I prayed over it. I wiped my face with it, but that doesn't count. But listen, from Paul's body came handkerchiefs and aprons. Look, why did we cut these up? Some of you got some people that won't come to church right now that are sick. This isn't a good luck charm. It's just a place for you to release your faith. In Chesapeake, Virginia, years ago, we had a woman in our tent that we had prayer every day at noon, and she had a big built-up shoe, about this big, and walked with a limp. 3 weeks of revival, she never got prayed for that big limp and messed up leg. One leg was shorter than the other. About the 6 week of revival, she asked for my handkerchief. She said, have you ever read in Paul, from his body came handkerchiefs and aprons and evil spirits departed and special miracles came forth? I said, yeah, I've read that. She said, I want your handkerchief. I'm going to wear it until my healing manifests. She didn't put that thing in her pocket. You can put it in your pocket. But she pinned it to the outside of her blouse, right like this. For the next 3 weeks, she wore that, and everywhere she went, people would go, why do you got that handkerchief pinned to your blouse? She'd say, well, from the body of Paul came handkerchiefs and aprons, and evil spirits departed, special miracles came forth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith was rising. 3 weeks later in that tent, she stood up during the middle of the tent, was praising God while I'm preaching. Nobody else was happy, but she was. I thought, man, I'm glad she's happy. Then I see her get up and go to the back of the tent, and she's jumping up and down on one leg. I'm thinking, man, I don't know what manifestation that is, but I hope it doesn't spread. I didn't want to be the one-legged hopping revival, all right? I see her leave. You're in a tent. You can see when people leave. She left in her car. We prayed for people. When she got to the end of the service, she'd come back. Lori stopped me. She said, you got to hear what this lady has to say. She said, while you were preaching, he sent his word to heal. She said, I've had a built-up shoe since I was a child. This woman's in her 70s. My hip has been messed up, and it made one leg shorter than the other, about like this. She said, while you were preaching, she said, something happened. I involuntarily crossed my leg. Usually if I did that, it would cause excruciating pain. She said, when I did it, I didn't have any pain. I stood up, and it felt funny. I kicked my shoes off, and it seemed like my legs were the same length. She said, I went back to the back of the tent and was jumping up and down on that one leg because that would cause pain too. She said, I had no pain. She said, I'm sorry I left, but I went home. I had to get my pants off. I wanted to see the new leg that Jesus gave me. Just a place for you to release your faith. If I had unsaved kids, I'd say, hey, come by and pick me up. I need you to drive me to Walmart. And I'd slip one right under the seat and pray over it that they be saved. You got family that have corona? Right here. You're watching? Ask for one. We'll send you one in the mail. But I'm going to leave these laying here. Lori, come kind of spread these out a little bit, so everybody doesn't have to get their hands all over. I'm not worried, but I want everybody to feel safe, okay? But I'm going to tell you, Pastor has already told you, this altar's the safest place you can be, right? The devil's a liar anyway. But if you want one, you take one. But I want you to, when you take it, make it a place for you to release your faith. It's a point of contact. It's like when I lay hands on somebody, it's a place to release your faith. Sometimes sowing in an offering is a place to release. But we all have different things. But this is one of the things. We've given out cloths in Argentina and came back with reports all over Argentina. People have been healed by the power of God. It's not a good luck charm. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot. It's not healing oil that I brought from the Holy Land. I could have, but whatever. The real Pentecostal oil is that one that has the bottle that's shaped big at the bottom and gets skinnier. Just kidding around. But listen, I believe some miracles are going to happen in your family, and your pastor's going to get a report. You can email us or whatever, join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things. But take them and use them. Put them under your kid's pillow. Whatever you want, all right? But I believe still special miracles are going to come forth. Amen. Do we believe that? Lift up your hands. Everybody just stretch out your hand right now. Father God, every one of these cloths represent people that need miracles. Lord, we believe that even you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, miracle working power. It was Holy Ghost power. We do not deny the power, but we believe in the power of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, salvations, healings, evil spirits, there's children that want to commit suicide, that spirit is broke off of them in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of the Lord. Be free. Come on, worship the Lord in this place. Worship the Lord in this place. Come on, just begin to worship the Lord for a moment. And if you want to come, you get one as you want. All right? Pastor, do we have people to pray over online tonight? Any needs?
Carolyn Cartwright, would you come and let the evangelist pray for you, please? Just come. There are two ladies in our midst that both have terrible, terrible issues with their legs. And so we want to pray for them. Audrey is the other. If you have issues in your legs, your joints, would you come and let him pray for you? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are people online here we want to pray for tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just going to call their names and then pray a prayer blessing over them. Eduarda Zarita, Linda Gerganis White, Rebecca Blevins Hayes, Mary Kibal, Jessica Lawhead, Nick Nixon, one of my Hertford friends, Gwen Williams, Alice Williams, Cindy Johnson, Alan Simons, Brian Williamson, Chris Parrish, Shirley Williams, Alyssa Sticka, Darlene Dunning, Sandy Knowles. There are others that are listed here. Would you just join me in prayer? Father, right now, the names we called, Lord, you already know their need. They're watching tonight in distant places. They're watching in their homes. They're watching on their phones. Lord, I pray in Jesus' strong name right now that you would visit them, Lord. Visit them. Let them have right in their homes a power encounter. Let them have a power encounter in Jesus' name. Lord, let them have a power infilling, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And let them have a power overflow that when they go out tomorrow, they'd share the gospel, they'd share the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Touch and heal, encourage, uplift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you go. Sing it, guys. Come on, sing it one more time.